Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, today's book that we're talking about today is about men, but today's show is for both men and women. You know, years ago, I had a conversation with one of our listeners, and he expressed his angst for the way men are constantly the butt of jokes, on the receiving end of broad sweeping judgments, and so often misunderstood. And he gave this example. He said, you know, on Mother's Day at church, women get a flower, they get pampered, they get prayed for, they get blessed. On Father's Day, we're often yelled at from the pulpit, and we're dressed down right in front of our family, like we can't ever do things right. And you know what? That may not always be true, but I think it feels true for many men. So how are you, if you're a man, how are you supposed to be the man God called you to be? Well, Brant Hansen joins me today to talk about, this is a brilliant book, and I'm telling you, I think Kyle Eidelman talked about how he manages to both be hilariously funny and decidedly earnest. It's like there's this, he's so funny. I laugh out loud one moment that I'm reading, and the next moment it packs a punch because there's so much great insight. His book, listen to this, The Men We Need, God's Purpose for the Manly Man, the Avid Indoorsman, and Any Man Willing to Show Up. If you're a man or if you're a woman, which means this book is for everyone, I want you to text to get in on the drawing. Thanks to Baker Books, we've got 5 copies to give away. It's such a good and important read. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Brant Hansen is an author, radio host, and advocate for healing children with correctable disabilities through Cure International. His podcast with his friend and radio producer, the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, I love that, has been downloaded more than 10 million times. He's the author of several books, The Truth About Us, Unoffendable, Blessed Are the Misfits, and The Men We Need, which one we're talking about today. He's written for several media outlets, CNN.com, Washington Post, U.S. News, World Report, and many others. And he's written on matters as varied as public policy, culture, sports, and Asperger's syndrome, and even faith. He and his wife, Carolyn, live in South Florida, and I always love it when he joins us on the show. Brant, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you. I'm honored. Big time.
Yeah. Looking forward to the conversation. And Brant, we love to start just making it very personal. And you write so personally. I just love that. But what has God been talking to you about these days?
This is a little bit embarrassing, but I think people can relate to it. Like for me, the last few years have been about actually trusting him for real. I mean, cause I know we say we do. I know I've certainly said that, but like to believe that he's all I actually will need. I don't need to ever be insecure. Like it says in Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. I lack nothing. I mean, do I really believe that? And it's only been the last few years I've been able to, I think, really lean into that. And I grew up with a bad, really tough, religious, toxic, traumatic situation. And so I think I've given intellectual assent to things. I'm like, yes, this is true and that's true. And I've believed all the correct things. But actually trusting him and enjoying him has been a growing thing this last few years for me. So that's what I would say.
That's so beautiful. And I wonder, I've said this over and over again, but I just believe there are many, many Christians walking through life who know they're saved, but they don't know they're loved. And how different the walk might be if they could enjoy fellowship with God and learn to know that He actually enjoys them too, you know?
Yeah. And I may have run this by you before. I can't remember, but you usually ask about a verse. But for the last few years, it has been this verse, just what you're saying, that I usually say it back to him in the morning when I'm walking my dog and praying, and that's helped a lot. But there's this verse in the King James in Psalm 143:8, but it says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee I put my trust. And I love that. Cause me to hear your, like, remind me again this morning, God, that you're loyal to me. Please, that you're not leaving. Just let me hear that every, because I feel like if the morning starts that way, that's a strong hand to play from the rest of the day. And so that's been kind of my thing. Just lately, it's been I like the way the King James puts that, that caused me to hear it, that you're good to me. And please tell me that in the morning.
I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that. Well, I would love to know even, Brent, how the message of this book, The Men We Need, and I, you guys, you got to hear the subtitle again. Don't miss it. God's Purpose for the Manly Man, the Avid Indoorsman, any man willing to show up. Talk about how just that was born in your heart.
Well, I'm not the typical guy to write a man's book. Like, I don't hunt. I have neurological problems. Like, my eyes move back and forth, which is not a good situation for hunting or any kind of gun sports. You don't want me to axe throwing night either. I have no balance.
Like, bless your heart.
So exactly. So it's a little bit different. I'm more the artsy kind of guy, I guess. I love sports and stuff, but I'm not good at them because I can't see very well. And I play the flute. Like, normally, if you're writing a guy's book, you want the guy that does the mountain climbing and the running with the bulls in Pamplona and all that stuff. But I don't think that's where most guys are, necessarily.
Yeah.
And while it's very cool to have outdoor skills, I think we sometimes confuse what masculinity is, even in church culture, because we're like, okay, let's do some guy stuff. What's a man supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to get outside and start doing some cool stuff. I even had to tell my publisher, like, hey, please, when you do the cover, don't do like a silhouette of some guy on top of a mountain or something. Because that's the first thing they think of, is a guy doing something awesome outside. Like, again, that's cool. And I respect guys that can do that 100%. But I think there's something deeper that a lot of guys aren't told about what we're actually supposed to be doing.
Right, right.
And so that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, because everybody deconstructs masculinity. And I think some of that is really, really good, a lot of it. Because we don't want toxic, domineering masculinity and all that stuff. But, okay, but what is it? I mean, so it's easy to deconstruct, but it's much harder to construct it. And guys need that. So I'm trying to take a shot at saying, hey, this is it. I'm trying to paint a very specific picture. This is what people are looking for. And the cool thing about it is you don't have to be jacked. You don't have to have an awesome truck. You don't have to fit whatever men's fitness style abs or whatever. You don't need to do that. You can, but that's not the point. Like, there's something deeper. And so that's the picture I'm trying to paint so that guys can actually go, that's it. That's what I'm supposed to be doing.
And this, you did it. You nailed it. You hit the bullseye. And I imagine, you know, when you think of that caricature of the manly man, the muscle head climbing the side of the mountain, and God bless you if you're that guy.
Yeah.
You're, you know, God bless you. However, let's say that's 5%, 10% of men. And you think of the rest of the male population, how they have to almost shrug their shoulders going, oh, well, I guess I'm a have not. And if they believe that in any way, they're not going to live up to the potential of that God has for them. And here, I feel like in this book, you really kind of clear the playing field. This is for any man. And these are core principles that you will find your what you're made for if you live into them. And I love that you did that, Brent.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like, women who are listening, as I describe what it is that guys are supposed to be, there's a almost 100% chance you're going to go, oh my goodness, that's right. That's exactly what I want. So I'm actually telling guys, I start just to get their attention. I'm like, look, women are looking for this.
Yeah.
And it's not what you think. And initially, muscles and stuff can be awesome, being good looking and stuff. That can be an initial thing. Long term, though, that's not it at all. She's looking for you to be the keeper of the garden. And I don't mean keeper of the garden like the CEO or the I'm in charge here sort of approach to life. I'm talking about someone who takes on his life and his sphere of influence with the job description that what Adam was given specifically by God. Like, do you protect, you provide security, you create a space with whatever sphere of influence you have where the vulnerable can thrive. That's your job. Because somebody who's a good gardener, not only are you supposed to protect the space from outside enemies, which Adam failed to do, he was passive. He did not do it. But not only do I protect people around me, making them physically secure, but if you think about it, like, there are species of plants, for instance, that won't survive out in the wild. But when they're well kept in a secure garden, they bloom and flourish and they're beautiful because someone kept the garden. Like, I feel like that's my role with vulnerable people in my life. All the people in my life, my kids, my wife, my neighbors, like, I want them to flourish. I want them to bloom and I want them to feel secure because I'm here.
Oh, wow.
To the extent I make them feel insecure, I'm betraying my role as a man. And I'm telling you, when I talk about this and I just spell it out, because guys, we got like a bunch of puzzle pieces of masculinity, but we need a box top image to go, oh, yeah, that's it. So that's what I'm trying to explain to guys and honestly to women to know, oh, that's right. That is exactly what a man should be, so that they have a great picture of, okay, now I need to live along those lines and see what happens.
We're going to pause here. This is what Brent writes. We men are at our best when we are keepers of the garden. We are at our best when we champion the weak and the vulnerable. We're at our best when we use whatever strengths we have to safeguard the innocent and provide a place for people to thrive. Brent Hansen is my guest. This really, I want to say, is probably the most biblical book on manhood that I've ever read, and it includes 100% of all men. It's not a caricature that only fits a few. And we're going to a little bit later in the show talk about passivity and even toxic passivity and why we so often see that in men. My hubby always says men need a win, a path to a win, and if they don't find one, oftentimes they'll shrug their shoulders and not try at all. Is that part of it? I don't know. I'd love to know. What are your thoughts, friends? I'm talking to Brent Hansen. His book is The Men We Need, God's Purposes for the Manly Man, The Avid Indoorsman, I love that, and any man willing to show up. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. When we come back, we're going to talk about women have a sense and an instinct about when men are living into the fullness of their calling and when they're not, and why that matters. More with Brent Hansen in a minute. Hi, I'm Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live, and I want to just look back over my shoulder this year and just say thank you to God and thank you to you. Thanks to God for all of his provision, and thanks to you for listening and allowing us to do this journey with you and encourage you along the way. It is absolutely amazing to us that we are getting emails and seeing that we have listeners all over the world in some of the remotest parts of the earth, and that couldn't happen without faithful friends saying, I'm going to step into a story that's bigger than I am. I benefit from Faith Radio, but I want others to benefit too. And because of that big story heart of faith, we've been able to keep growing and going. But we're not finished yet. We feel like we're just getting started. And we know that there are many, many of our listeners who listen, who love it, who benefit, but have never given before. And I say this with no condemnation, but I am issuing an invitation. If you've never given a gift before, or maybe you haven't given a gift yet this year, there's still time. Would you consider giving a tax-deductible year-end gift to Faith Radio? Help us keep growing and going, because millions of people still need to know about the hope of Jesus. You can give safe and secure online at myfaithradio.com. You're having a really great day. We are having a fantastic conversation with Brent Hansen. He's a best-selling author, a national radio host. He steps in and helps care for the vulnerable. His new book is fantastic. It's so good. It's titled The Men We Need, God's Purpose for the Manly Man, the Avid Indoorsman, and Any Man Willing to Show Up. And as I said, the book is written about men, but it's for men and women. And the show today is for men and women. And one thing you'd say, Brent, is that women sense when men are fulfilling their purpose and when they're not. Women don't respect passive men who lack ambition or drive. But it's more than that. They also grow to resent them. They know men are made for something more. Somebody got to give me an amen, because that's just true. But I'd love for you to unpack that a bit more. Oh, my goodness. We just lost Brent. Can you believe it? Looks like he's calling back. Looks like he's calling back. So right now I'm going to make a pitch for the book if you want in on the drawing. Here's the number again. You can text book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, and we don't have him, so it looks like he's coming in here again. I wonder, Angie, are you able to give me a song or something? Just give me a little, or is that too much to manage while you're trying to get him on the line? Sorry, friends. Okay, we got him, so hang with me. We're going to get him back on.
I'm here.
Yay, thank you, Lord. Okay. People were very engaged. They're like, we're praying he comes back. So very good. we're averse to drama, but it's okay. We can bounce totally back. So here we go.
We totally can because both of us are radio pros. So you see how we just handle this so relaxed.
No problem. Yes. Yeah. We trust him. Okay. So this is such a good point. You said women sense when men are fulfilling their purpose and when they're not. Women don't respect passive men who lack ambition or drive. But it's more important than that. They grow to resent them. They know men are made for something more. Say more if you would.
Yeah. Okay. So my wife is hoping I become this sort of man and has been hoping over the decades as I've grown into it, she's cheering it on. Like, but it has to be, I had to get an idea that this was actually my role. You know, it was like a crystalline moment for me. It was in college. I was at the University of Illinois. I mentioned this at the very outset of the book because I want to get guys' attention in particular, but I went to the women's house next door. They were just giving tours through everything. And it's a Christian lady's house, but they all had, in every one of their rooms, they had the same poster of a dude. And I was like, what's up with this guy? And it turns out this is the best-selling poster to this day. The best-selling poster of all time is this one guy. And I'm sure he's good-looking. I don't doubt that. But there's a million pictures of good-looking guys. Like, why the same poster? And I said to one of the students, then I was like, what's up with the guy? And he's cute, but it's not about him. It's the baby he's holding. And I was like, why? Because he is holding a baby. It's a silhouette of a guy holding a baby. And she said, it's the way the baby's looking at him. And they just find that man so attractive because of the way the baby's looking at him. Hmm. And the way the baby's looking at him is looking up and making eye contact. It's obviously a very vulnerable baby. But the eyes on the baby looking up at him, you can't even really see his eyes. But the baby's obviously like, I trust you. There's this look of, I know you got me. And I thought, that's so interesting. They find the man attractive because this vulnerable creature knows that he or she is safe with him. And that's very instructive. And I also find it very interesting. I tell guys, you can ask women, what's the most attractive occupation for a man? It's always firefighter. I mean, why? Is it the helmets? No, it's not the reflective pants. Like, there's something deeply beautiful about a masculinity that protects people, and women are attracted to it. So if you make her feel secure, what I'm trying to say as a husband, I can be totally muscly. I can be incredibly good looking. I could be great at outdoor stuff, axe throwing champion of the tri-state area or whatever. But if she feels insecure around me, she'll resent all those things about me.
Yeah.
If I make her feel insecure, maybe I flirt with other women or I don't show her attention or I'm all about my own body or whatever, she'll actually resent my muscles and my good looks. She will not feel attracted to me. Conversely, the great news is for all the guys who fall short of that ideal, which is just about everybody, she'll be wild about you if you make her feel secure.
Yeah.
I mean, it plays out over and over. One last example of this, I'll actually talk at the outset of a talk to a bunch of young people or whatever, but it'd be boys and girls or college students or whatever. And I'll just rapid fire show some slides that I got from Google just of guys rescuing people or animals or something, like pulling somebody out of a ditch or, you know, saving an animal in a flood or whatever. And they're just normal guys. There's nothing, they're not models. It's just news photos. And I fire through them. And at the end, I'm like, oh, by the way, hey, ladies, are those guys attractive? And always there's a visceral, immediate, yes. Hmm. And I go back. I'm like, guys, I want you to pay attention to what they just said. Let's go back and look at all these men. There's nothing special about them. They're overweight or maybe a little underweight or like they're all different nationalities, ethnicities. Like, wow, they're all attractive. Why? Because they're rescuing and they're actually using whatever they have to actually care for people. Hmm. And they make them feel more secure because they're around. So I point that out to guys to say, look, you don't do what I say here. Like, I'd love if you to read the book and stuff, but you don't do it so that you can be attractive to women. However, my goodness, women are brilliant and intuitive and they know what we're for, what we're made for. They understand it deep down. That's why it resonates with them, because they're like, that's what men are for. Which is totally missing from our conversation as a culture. We don't even know what men are for.
Right.
So to have somebody say, this is what you're for, whatever gifts, skills you have, you channel for this to make people around you secure. It's like, oh, I'm starting to get it.
Yeah. You know, I've said this so many times, women are not difficult. It's not hard to sweep us off our feet. And again, this isn't about that, but it is a side point that, you know, women who feel safe and secure, who feel like there's a consistency, a consistent covering in the man, they'll pick that over the muscles and the good looks any day of the week because, you know, we have a soul that needs covering. So this made me laugh out loud. This is right. You're just so funny. And you said, apparently sometimes you don't even have to do anything to be admired for being an attractive man of action. A few nights ago, a group of loud teenage guys was out on the street in front of our house. It was after 11. They didn't bother me, so I sprung into inaction and I stayed in bed. There's no point there. I just thought it was hilarious. But eventually your wife, it bothered her. So then you did spring to action, right?
Yeah, well, okay. So here's what happened. She went down. She was like clearly bothered. I'm like, can't we just turn up the noisemaker? Like, it's a big deal. Like, they're not going to do anything. Well, she was bothered, so she's looking out the window. She gets up, and finally she goes downstairs. And now I'm lying in bed. She's downstairs feeling threatened by whatever's going on in the street. So I was like, come on, Grant, get up. So I did, you know, got dressed, went downstairs real quick, and I walked out the door to break it up or confront these people or whatever. And as I was going out the door, they dispersed. And I don't think it was because of me. I honestly don't. I think it was because it was just they were done or whatever. And I turned back around, I came back through the door, and my wife said, that was so attractive. And I said, I didn't even do anything. And she was like, yeah, but you were willing to.
Hmm.
I mean, what does that tell me as a man? You know what's so interesting, too? Like, that shapes my behavior when my wife says that is so attractive. Like, that is what, it's the opposite of nagging. It's the opposite of ripping me apart. It's building me up when she finds, like, that's when you're at your best. And boy, do I remember that. And any husband will, honestly.
Yeah, that's right. We notice sacrificial love. We notice when you're making gestures towards us. And I love this so much. We got about 2.5 minutes to break. We'll talk about it up to the break. But if we could put this on a billboard in every city, it would be great. You're right. Masculinity is about taking responsibility. We naturally respect men who take responsibility for themselves. We have even more respect for those who go beyond themselves to their families. And we have immense respect for men who take responsibility for those well outside their homes. Wow. Say more about that.
Okay. There's a high profile thing. I'll show this to guys or ladies too. It's a photo, a news item where there was a Malian immigrant. He's in France. He sees a kid dangling from a fifth-story balcony, a little kid, like 3-4 years old. He starts climbing up, like just pull up after pull up, all the way up. There's a crowd gathered below, and they're all cheering him on. He gets up, and he rescues the kid. The kid's dangling by one hand, and he slings up over the balcony thing. Like, wow, that's impressive, isn't it? The problem is there's two guys in this photo, one you can't see. And that's the kid's dad, who was just inside the door playing video games.
Wow.
And I'm like, women, which guy's attractive, which guy's not? Well, they can barely see the Malian immigrant. They just see his back as he's pulling himself. But it's like, he got honored by the French president. He was given citizenship and a Medal of Honor. And all. Like, everybody can pretend like we don't recognize awesome masculinity when we see it, but we do. Like, we do. We know the guy inside is a loser, unfortunately, and I hope he grows up. We all have to. But we know that guy who took responsibility for a child, somebody didn't have to, and risked himself. We all know deep down, everybody knows that. Like, that's masculinity at its best, because he's taking responsibility beyond for himself.
So good. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about passivity. Why is that such a prevailing characteristic in men? What can women do if they are married to a passive man or if they've got a passive son? What can we do if there's anything? And why is that? And then what's the distinction between that and actual toxic passivity and the implications of it? Talking to Brant Hinson, his book is fantastic, and he writes like he speaks. The Men We Need, God's Purpose for the Manly Man, the Avid Indoorsman, and any man willing to show up. We'll be back in a minute.
It ain't over yet, ain't over yet, so keep walking, soldier, keep moving.
Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend Brant Hansen. He's a best-selling author, national radio host, and wow, he's written such an insightful book. The topic is men, but the book and the show today is for both men and women. Very worth your time. The book is titled The Men We Need, God's Purpose for the Manly Man, the Avid Indoorsman, and Any Man Willing to Show Up. I said this before, I think this is probably the most biblical book on manhood that I've read, because it kind of blows that caricature that you can only be a manly man if you're climbing the side of a mountain or you're a muscle head or something like that. That's not even biblical. This book is for every man that wants to step into the call of God in their life and to protect the vulnerable, to live up to their calling, to have the people in their closest sphere of influence feel most safe with them. Anybody can do that. Any man can do that. And this book really helps you to know how to do that. We've got 5 copies to give away thanks to Baker Books. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And you write about passivity. And I'm so glad you had the courage to go there, because that's a sore spot for a lot of women. There are so many women that I talk to as I travel around to conferences who just grieve. Because I think, like you'd said earlier, we have a sense of what our men are made for. So talk about the impact of passivity and what you think is at the root of it.
Yeah, I call it toxic passivity, because we're all familiar with the other kind of toxic masculinity. And
wow, yeah.
But they're both actually weirdly are the same thing, because either one of them breeds insecurity in the home. Like if a wife or kids think dad is checked out, there's this insecurity that takes over. It might manifest itself a number of ways. You know, a woman may feel more frenetic, or like feel more pressure and more stress, and the kids feel that. Let's say you're married and you've got kids, but Adam is a great example, because I'm saying he was given this job to be the keeper of the garden. He didn't show up. He actually didn't do the job. What's weird, I always thought when Eve was tempted by the enemy that Adam was like a mile away naming the animals or something, whatever he was doing. But if you actually read the text, he's right there with her, and he does nothing to protect her. Nothing. But that was his job. So even though they both have done the wrong thing and they both have to suffer the consequences, after it happens, God goes looking for Adam. He's like, Adam, where are you? Like, I gave you this job. So I do think it's a big deal. And you're right. A lot of people struggle with this. I talk to counselors, marriage counselors, that say there's more struggle with toxic passivity than anything else when it comes to marriage. So it is a big deal, but it comes right down to the same thing, where the garden is insecure, the people within it, because you're not engaged. One thing though, for guys, I think this is a big paradigm switch, because a lot of guys will think, hey, I do protect my family. Like, if some intruder came in this house, I would step up and do whatever it took, you know, to defend my wife and kids. Like, that's cool. But usually, and I quoted another book because I thought it was a great example of what I was talking about, but usually there's not an intruder physically coming in your house. Usually the intruder is you. And what I mean by that is, or me, with my words, with my lack of words, with my attitude, I'm the one who's actually hurting my wife. So the guy I need to defend against is that guy. And even the slightest, most subtle things, and this is something you can learn over time as you're married, if you're open-minded, to learn, like you're a strong enough person to learn and change. You can say, you know what, that's right. So I'm going to have to learn some of this building people up with my words kind of thing. Because even the slightest pause when you're talking to your wife can feel like a curse. If she says, I love you, and then you pause and say, yeah, I love you. I mean, that's just an inflection. Yep. It's just a pause, but it feels like you just cursed me. Mm-hmm. So the slightest things can introduce this. But if your heart is turned towards, you know what, I am my wife's biggest fan. I want her to thrive. I'm rooting for her every day. I believe in her. That starts to show up in how you say things, your inflections, your tone. And that's what kills off that intruder that's actually hurting your wife every day.
Wow. You know, I know two women personally, not they don't know each other, but just in my sphere over the years, who were married to Mr. Nice Guys. And meeting the guy, charming as ever, but he was vanilla and benign. He treated everybody. He was nice to everybody, and he was nice to his wife, but that was it. There was no engagement. You know, it's like both of these wives said, it's one size fits all. There's no engagement. He doesn't know me. He treats you the same as he treats me and vice versa. And what happened over the years is I watched the light went out of the eyes of both of these women. And in due time, they woke up one day, their account was empty, their emotional account. Both left the marriages. And I'm not at all advocating, but I'm saying they are in, you know, they are divorced now. It impacted how they walk with God. And it was like, it was such a sad testimony of just watching. And these guys just were smiling and like, what? You know, and people felt sorry for them because they were such nice guys. But I had a close enough look to say they're married but not engaged, you know, and heartbreaking, you know.
It is. And that's the thing. It's like this keeping the garden, you have to actively cultivate, like to use that job that God gave Adam, like actively shaping, cultivating, planting, making sure things are treated well, you know, working with the, I forget what you even call it when you cut off the branches and stuff. It's like
pruning.
When you pruning, yes, all that sort of stuff. Like just there's work that has to be done. It's good work. It's good work. But if you just say, well, I didn't stomp on any of the plants, that's not the job.
Wow.
That's not the job. The job was these things were supposed to thrive because of you. These children were supposed to thrive because you shaped their character. Like these women whom we're married to and blessed to be married to should thrive because of who we are. Like we believe they're stars and want to see them thrive. Like that's what it means to be a keeper of the garden. And women do respond to this very, very well. It does mean pushing social energy sometimes at home when you feel like you want to check out. You can't. You took on this responsibility. You planted this garden. You can't leave it like that. So I want to say to guys too, if you're older and you're hearing this and you're just discouraged because you're like, oh my gosh, it's me. Like, okay, you can change.
Engage.
Like this, we all learn things. So hopefully you're listening to this and you're like, don't beat yourself up. Just go, you know what? That's right. That's right. That's I just needed to hear this because I couldn't put it all together. Like, that is what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, good. This will be a great new day for you.
That's so good. I got to say, I love this. People don't buy movie tickets to watch Men Without a Mission. There's no whatever man hero in the Marvel Universe. That's just true. It's like everybody is drawn to a man on a mission. So that's powerful. Let's move to this chapter titled, That's Not a Girl. That's a piece of paper. Just spend a couple minutes on that. Unpack that one, if you would.
Well, I can't remember the author of the book. For some reason, I'm blanking on that now, too. But it's an exchange between a guy and another guy. And this guy, it's back in the day when, you know, people were looking at magazines and stuff. And he's like, oh, check out this girl. And the other guy's like, it's not a girl. It's a piece of paper. And I thought that was really profound because even in digital terms, it's still pixels. But it tricks your mind into thinking it's a real woman for the short term. Those pixels, that piece of paper, will never call you out to be a man. Never. And that's the appeal, right? You get the dopamine hit, but you don't have reality. No, at no time will those pixels call you out to go to CVS at 2 a.m. because she's not feeling well, even if you're not in the mood for that. They won't argue with you. They won't shape you. They won't call you to grow up and take more responsibility. They won't challenge you. You'll stay a boy. But in your head, at some level, you're thinking you're getting the dopamine hit because you're having some sort of relationship that actually doesn't exist. So that was what I was trying to say to guys. It's not a guilt trip per se at all. I hope not. But I am saying, man, it's hard in this culture with what we have to put up with that men have never had to endure or had been subjected to. It's very difficult. So I feel for us. But on the other hand, man, a commitment to a real woman, that's how you grow up. If like rather than fake women or real people. Like if you're not married, you can still grow up. But it's going to be through relationships with actual flesh and blood human beings that call you out to change.
You referenced a study, and I don't recall which one it is. I thought it was a study done in China, but it was of these 30 and 40-year-old men who have opted out of culture, basically live with their parents and play video games and are just kind of unaccounted for in life. I mean, that's horrifying.
Yeah, they're called hikikomori is what they're called. It sounds like I'm hiccuping, but I'm not. But it's I actually practice how to say that. But it's a group of dropouts that are young men. And the government has actually tried to lure them out of their apartments, or mainly they'll live with their parents and just do nothing but pornography and video games. And I'm trying to tell guys, like younger guys, like, I know, I get the appeal of video games. Totally. I mean, I get the appeal of all of it, living that lifestyle of just fake payoffs. You don't want to look back when you're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old and go, all my adventures were fake. You don't want that at the deepest level. So
amen.
The problem is it pays off with the dopamine hits, but it leaves you with yourself. And you're going to feel like there's this ennui in our culture, especially young people, especially young men, this sense of meaninglessness and they're sour and they're somber and they're in a bad mood. It's because you're doing meaningless things. You're going to feel meaningless when you do meaningless stuff. And I say that as somebody that can easily do all that and has struggled with all of that. But that's why. So I'm trying to paint a picture for, especially for younger guys when they read that, to go, yeah, that's right. That's not who I'm. None of that makes my heart beat faster. What makes my heart beat faster is actually finding a purpose that actually does bring security to people, however I can, and adds to their lives.
Amen. I love this. You said, please don't waste your God-given desires for adventure and accomplishment by being a fake hero fighting fake injustices in fake worlds. Amen and amen. And on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about the idea that you said our neighborhoods should be safer simply because our men are there. And you tell a story of a man named Dishel. And that's an amazing story. I want you to share that on the other side. And this dear listener, oops, let me just read this real quick, said... we'll cover this. I'm going to read it first, and we'll cover it on the other side. All right, talking to Brant Hansen. His book is The Men We Need, God's Purpose for the Manly Man, the Avid Indoorsman, and Any Man Willing to Show Up. We'll be back in a minute. With all the bad news out there, it's good to remember the good news to get some encouragement every single day. Well, if you need a word of encouragement, we would love to connect with you on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we're even on YouTube. You know, we're creating encouraging posts every single day to help you focus on what really matters, to lift your chin, to help you remember that you belong to God and He loves you and He's committed to you. You'll find graphics, you'll find featured Bible verses, quotes from hosts and from our shows, articles about the topics you're interested in, as well as videos from all of our hosts. You can search Faith Radio on social media and find us today. We'd love to connect with you. Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend Brant Hansen. He's a best-selling author, national radio host, and I hope we get at some point to be able to talk about your work with Cure. Before we get to the idea that our neighborhoods should be safer with our men in them and that great story that you tell, this is a pretty personal email. I'm reading it anonymously for this dear listener, really wanting wisdom about her situation. She says, is it okay for me to leave my husband? Not only has been passive our entire marriage, but up until 3 years ago, he's been operating in sex addiction, which ultimately led to 2.5 years of physical infidelity. I think my heart left last October. I'm fearful about starting over by myself since I've been a stay-at-home homeschooling mom for 18 years. He seems repentant and working on his recovery, but I don't know if I can feel good about a relationship anymore. I'm working on my resilience as I'm surviving more than I'm thriving. What do you say?
Well, I can't give an answer to that. Obviously, I mean, I pray for people around her to have wisdom and speak into that and know the situation. But I will say, I have a tremendous amount of respect for you if you're listening, for your desire to make it work, what you've gone through. And I'm so sorry that has happened. It's not supposed to be this way. It is this way for so many women who are listening. And it's not that guys are losers, and it's not fair. But it is true we're in a broken world, and I'm so sorry that that's been thrusted on you. And a lot of guys have never been given a vision, and they've just not been like, it's just, we're lost on this with masculinity in this culture. So I think it's just multiplied over and over and over, and it's heartbreaking. So I'm very sorry to hear that. I have a lot of respect for you, and I hope you can get somebody who's wise around you that knows the situation that can help you through this.
I think that's great wisdom, Brad. Thank you for that. Okay, so you talked about that our neighborhood should be safer simply because our men are in them, and you tell this great story of a young man named Dishel. I think I'm saying his name right. Tell us that story.
Well, this went viral. I thought it was so interesting. Again, whenever people see men doing stuff that they know intuitively, oh, that's what we're supposed to do, it goes viral. People want to see it so bad. This guy was, he ran a restaurant in South Africa, and he just was having, he was sitting outside on the veranda with his dad, just sitting there at a table. And he looked over to see this guy that just looked a little out of place, a little out of character outside, walking down the sidewalk, that was looking over at this, like this mom and this little girl. And suddenly this dude off the sidewalk, like jumped over this little railing, grabbed the little girl and was going to take off. But like within a second, Dishal, this guy who just runs this restaurant, his cook, is on top of him, and he's completely pinned. Like it's so fast, it's just hilarious almost. Like, but they interviewed him, and he's like, "Well, I'm just always watching. I'm always ready. Most of the time, I never have to, you know, I don't have to use my skills." But he had done some martial arts, and he was just ready. And I love that. Again, it goes viral because people recognize that that's what men are when they're at their best. But it's not just the martial arts. It's the fact that he's paying attention. So I've been in that situations that somebody doesn't know martial arts or anything and isn't a fight kind of guy. But I've had situations where I was just paying attention and people benefited from that because I'm not checked out. Hmm. So here's a big point I want to make on this. Guys will tell themselves, and this may be you, it may be your son, it may be people around you, but guys tell themselves, as long as I'm not hurting anybody else, what's it matter what I do? Like, if I lock myself in with my video games and stuff, like, so what? And I'm not saying video games are wrong. I play them. They're not evil in and of themselves. But my gosh, they can eat up your life. But people will say, what's it matter? Like, what, you are hurting people because we needed you out here.
Yeah.
God made you like with certain skills, certain ability. No one else is in that position that you're in, that specific position with those specific relationships and that specific address around these specific people working or studying around those people. Like, we needed you and we needed you to be fully you, and you didn't show up. So things are allowed to happen in our society because men just check out. We're not noticing how these vulnerable people suffer. Like, we needed you. So it's not good enough to just go, as long as we're not hurting anybody, because you are.
One of the things you said that, you know, Dishel had trained for years, and his self-discipline made him capable of remarkable things. And it, like, I love that you said this doesn't even have to do with martial arts, but his self-discipline made him capable of remarkable things. That, you know, the manly man, whether you're a muscle head or you're an avid indoorsman, you know, self-discipline, self-restraint is part of the package, where you say no to your flesh so you can say yes to the bigger picture is part of what makes you ready to intervene, to stand in the gap, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. So that's the thing about disciplines, like me praying when I don't necessarily feel like it, or, you know, reading scripture, trying to remember more and more of it. Like, what I pay attention to changes who I am. And then I more naturally react in a more Christ-like way if I'm paying more attention to him. He just changes me from the inside out. It's not all about willpower, minute to minute, like, oh, okay, I want to do that. It's more like you practice these disciplines in life so that you can do things you otherwise couldn't.
Yeah.
But it changes who you are. And that's why I want to encourage guys to be more like Jesus. You can't just go, well, the Bible doesn't matter. Well, it mattered to Jesus. He's quoting it almost nonstop. So I believe those words and turning my attention to those words and memorizing things actually helps change my character so that I'm a different person. And it has.
Yeah. So good. A couple of text questions in here. Brant, I've read your book, and it was, like Susie said, biblically written. My question is, how do you get your husband and other men to read this? I've even suggested it'd be a great Bible study, but hard to get the men in your life motivated to encourage one another. It's almost like they don't want to interfere with other men's lives. Anything you want to say anything about that?
Well, I have one handy tip, and that is, besides airdrop my books over your entire neighborhood, would be to... We respond better to kindness, not kindness, like even just we respond to respect. So if there's anything in the book when you read it that reminded you at all of your husband, you could honestly give it to him and go, you know what? There's stuff in here that reminded me of you. You've got to read this. It's so good. You might want to share it with other guys. So now what you've done is there's probably things in there that you'd like him to improve on, but at least he might read it because it's like something he could help other people with. And he's also feeling like, oh, I'm curious what she thought. You could also say, this is why I'm attracted to you because of the stuff in this book when you do it.
So good.
I mean, that's
so good.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This dear listener says, I'm in a 4.5-year relationship with a toxically passive man. I cannot get him to recognize that I need him to be the man. He's so passive. I'm at the end of my patience level. He's wanted to get married, and I can't explain to him why I cannot marry him. He's good, kind, responsible, but I'm so turned off by his personality. Please pray for my decision. My decision-making need. What do you say there?
Well, again, you can't control anybody. And I'm so sorry that that's the situation. I hope that he would read the book. It's hard to get somebody to read a book, though. They don't want to. I did an audio book. If he'd rather audio book it or whatever. But bottom line is, you can't control somebody. And much respect on saying, I don't think this is the guy for me then.
Right.
Because
it's 4.5 years.
That, yeah. You're... Mm-hmm. I respect the judgment. You recognize something, and you can't control them. Mm-hmm. So I'd love for somebody who's got a relationship with or a book, even if it's not mine, that would help him get the picture of what he's supposed to be. Because if they see this picture, I think most guys are like, yeah, that's it. That's what I'm supposed to be.
And sometimes consequences like that, maybe that would be the best favor for him in the world, to say, these are the things I love about you. I cannot live with that passivity. I can't. I have a choice in the matter. We're not married yet, and I need to draw the line. And maybe that would be enough of a wake-up call to take a look at that, you know?
It very well could be. It's good to give guys a picture of what it is we're shooting for.
True.
Because that happens in church culture a lot, too. I've noticed it's like, yeah, guys, you're right. We need to stand up. We need to, be a man. What does that mean? Like, in practical terms, what does that mean to the accounting professor who's sitting there and the mechanic next to him and the pilot? And they're like, what are you talking about? So a lot of times we kind of throw around words, but you can say, stop being passive. And it's true, but it's like, but what am I supposed to be? So that's what I hope catches on in one form or another, whether it's through this book or somebody running with it and writing another one or however it gets out.
Yeah, I love this. You said, if I'm right, and I totally am. That was just my favorite line. If I'm right about this, and I totally am, that true masculinity is rooted in our unique role as keepers of our personal gardens, that we're to protect and defend and help the vulnerable. Then there's a flip side. Becoming a threat to those vulnerable people is treason. And that, wow, that was so powerful, because that, I think of how protective God is to the vulnerable, the vulnerable, the widow, the orphan. And when they're, it's like when wickedness prospers, the vulnerable suffers the most. And say a word about that.
Well, okay, quick story. I certainly wasn't planning to write a book about this or whatever back in the day, but I heard myself say something to my son. He was 9 or so, and our daughter, I think, was 6 at the time. And he was picking on her, and I heard her, yelling his name in the back room. I go back there, and he's picking, like, Justice is his name. Like, what? You're picking on your sister? Like, you realize your job is to defend your sister? That's your job in this family. At 9 years old, you can do this. And you're picking on her. So you're betraying the very role that you have. Now you're the threat that I have to protect her from. Do you realize how horrible that is? And what's wild, I don't remember, I may be forgetting something. I don't think we ever had a problem with it again.
Wow.
I think even boys, because it's so deeply true that this is who we're supposed to be, even boys intuit it. And when you tell them this is your role in the family, they usually rise to the occasion. I can give you many examples of young boys who have been taught this, who then do sacrificial things for people because they embody it. Mm-hmm. But you have to tell them. You have to give them that picture. At the time, I just kind of said that, but then it's like, wait, that's right. He needs to know that's his role in this world. Who's telling boys that's their role? They'll get it if we tell them.
So good. Wow, so good. And it looks like you have a re-release of Unoffendable coming out in January, so we're hoping and praying we can get you back for that, Brant. But this has been
Love it. Fantastic.
I pray that this book grows wings and it goes far and wide and ministers to many. Thank you for writing it, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you, as always. I'm honored.
Always appreciate our conversations. The men we need, God's purpose for the manly man, the avid indoors man, or any man willing to show up. And men, we need you to show up. We're cheering for you. Brant Hansen was my guest today. Pray you found some encouragement here, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.